For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Daredevil Born Again. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Episode 5 with interest. So if you haven't watched it on Disney Plus, go check it out because we're going to spoil it right now with a brief recap. In the episode, Matt goes to the bank to get a loan on St. Patrick's Day.
Man.
And who's he encounter?
Never go to the bank on St. Patty's
Day. Everybody knows that.
Oh, man. That's like going in the middle of SantaCon. What are you doing there, Matt? What are you doing there?
I did have that in my notes. Like, this is almost as worse as SantaCon.
It's pretty bad. But the good part is we encounter everybody's favorite MCU character, Miss Marvel's father, Yusuf Khan. Isn't that great? And he's working at the bank.
Still didn't give him the loan? I mean, come on!
Hold on. So there's a bank robbery there. They foil the bank robbery together. And at the end, we get an open invitation for Matt Murdock to head over to the non-existent Miss Marvel season 2. There you go. I mean, there's a little ties to the overall plot, but I would say a very different episode for the show. And to give some context there, we don't know exactly what was and wasn't reshot, but the director of this episode was working on the original season of Daredevil Born Again. He directed what was, episodes 3 and 4. He is credited here this season as the director of 4 and 5. And he was also later brought back on to like help smooth things over and shoot some additional stuff with the transition, with the changes. But I would venture this episode is a lot more what the original version of Daredevil Born Again was like.
Well, and that's an interesting call because I actually thought this episode was really good. And, if it was more like this, you know, everyone's talking about the previous season as if it was like hot garbage and they thank God they saved it. This episode was really good. So like, I don't know, maybe is there a lot of lost footage out there of another great Daredevil show? The idea that Marvel has made a lot of like mediocre shows and they made two great Daredevil shows and threw away one of them. That's pretty funny.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love this episode, and I thought, like, the whole tension of, like, Matt having to save the day, this bank robbery, as Matt Murdock, and not being able to kind of transform, I thought the tension of that was so much fun, and to kind of see him, you know, let loose at times, but also that quiet fight was insane. I had a blast with this episode. I'm just a little mad at Mr. Khan.
Oh, because of the loan?
Because he like saves the day.
Or you mad at him because the actor was sending weird texts to young girls in real life? Are you mad about that?
Whoa. Yeah.
Do you think he incorporated some of that into the character?
You can feel it. You can feel it coming through.
Okay, I feel it. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing is, Pete, like, saving the day doesn't get you that loan, you know?
It should get you that case. They should be like, hey, man, thanks for all your help. You know what? It's a fucking loan. We're a bank. That's what we do. What are we even fucking doing here? You know what I mean?
Mm. Interesting.
It's a funnier episode. I'm glad you guys liked it. I was a little thrown by the tone of this episode. It is the
thrown by the tone.
It is the most MCU feeling. And I think part of that is down to the fact that for the first time, we're getting like, Yusef Khan talking about Ms. Marvel Funko Pops and giving references yes. that may indicate
that
the Young Young Avengers. And at the end being doing the classic, like, I visited your show, now you visit ours thing, which, again, I don't think is ever necessarily going to happen. But all of that stuff added into something where it felt like a little bit of total dissonance with the four episodes we've gotten before, yeah. which I was surprised about. But like you guys said, I do like the done-in-one nature of this all taking place, for the most part, inside of the bank with the bank robbery. And it's nice to see a light, funny Matt as well.
Well, yeah. And like I think this the term bottle episode, I feel like everyone's real picky about what an actual bottle episode is, but the idea here being that this was a standalone episode that, because of its walled off nature, it can be a little different. And I hear what you're saying about all of the Ms. Marvel stuff. I actually like that the least. The stuff that I thought really worked here, even though it was tonally different, was
Penguin fucking.
The penguin fucking, naturally. The instantaneous Irish joke. All cops got them. Yeah. You know, go ahead. You can go up to any cop, and they have to do this if you ask them. It's just like an undercover cop has to tell you if they're
undercover or not. Yeah, undercover, that's real. Yeah. That's real.
That's real. And so is this. Every cop has an Irish joke. Go up and ask any cop on the streets of New York next time you're in town.
They love it.
You gotta love it. But what I was gonna say is, like, the action was really good. The way that they are continuing to do Matt using his powers and the sound design on all of that, the sound design on the silent fight versus the other stuff, him listening, is really good. Like, that's all I can be very positive about, especially the second half of this episode. And the way that Matt, and I wanna highlight the performance of Charlie Cox as well, because it's so good, and you can tell that he's in this intense situation trying to figure it out, but he's loving every second of it.
Yeah.
This is his addiction, and he's finally been put into a place where he can, you know, do it. He can be Daredevil without breaking his rule of not being Daredevil. And I thought that was a really interesting way, and the performance really showed that.
All right, well, let's take it back to the beginning. I mean, first off, quality Marvel flip to start the episode, you know. And then we kind of open here with, it's St. Paddy's Day, which is timely. New York City just kind of had St. Paddy's Day.
Most of the world actually had it.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't just New York.
Well, yeah, but this takes place in New York.
I have a question about St. Paddy's Day specifically, because there's a section later on where he's like, the main bank robber is like, St. Paddy's Day to the Irish. That's like, as we say in New York, Christmas for a Jew. And I was like, what?
What? I've never heard that.
I've never heard anyone in New York say that. Also, I don't think none of that tracked for me as a Irish people don't celebrate St. Paddy's Day. I feel like that's incorrect. I feel like they do. And no one in New York says Christmas for a Jew.
Right. Christmas for a Jew. I mean, speaking as the Jewish member of the podcast, you go to a Chinese restaurant, you go out to a movie or something like that. So, yes, I agree. I don't know what the implication was there.
And I think I get the idea, but they said it like, you know how we all say Christmas for a Jew, and I was like, that sounds fucked up. I can't imagine being like, oh, I gotta go to this parent teacher conference, like, Christmas for a Jew, right? And it's like, well, that's not
at best.
So that whole section was very strange. Sorry, Pete, I interrupted your dissection of the flip or whatever.
Yeah, and then kind of it opens with, it doesn't open, but then goes to Matt just kind of stroking his horn there, waiting for his meeting. And I was just like, oh, man, look at this guy. You know, he's really
great
in the
way
thralls.
To spend your time, stroking the horn.
I was just like, man, I hope nobody's watching you do this, because that's not really something
you
should
be doing.
It is
pretty obvious that he's stroking the horn in public. People will be like, what is that? What are you holding?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. I know. It's if any one person looks over at what the blind guy is doing, he's in serious trouble.
It's called Tubin, I think, named after Jeffrey Tubin.
What?
Christmas for a Jew?
No, stroking the horn in public.
Oh.
Oh, stop saying that?
Yeah, I mean, if we could stop, like, we got past it. It's good.
Okay.
We don't need to
I thought that. He was bringing it back. That's why I was so shocked.
Yeah. We can talk about the Easter egg-packed speech we got from Yousef Khan here. We find out that he's a loan officer. He's working for the bank. He's the assistant manager. He says, my daughter, Kabbalah, she's visiting some friends in California, La La Land, as they say, which I was like, they don't also say that either.
Yeah, this episode was written by an alien, but
but the implication, I mean, there's a couple of implications there, right? Like the most surfacey one, okay, I'm about to get very in the weeds here and I'm going to try to simplify it as much as possible, but the timeline of the MCU is very weird, if you remember, because they jumped forward 5 years in Avengers Endgame. So we're still not actually in the present day here. This actually takes place in March, obviously, of 2027 is where we are right now with Daredevil Born Again. And if I remember correctly, Ms. Marvel happened in 2025. Is what it took place. So God,
I hate that you know this, and now I hate that I know it.
I know. I hate this so much. I hate this as a thing. I hate that this has to be a thing. It's very annoying. But just to kind of lay it out, the end of Ms. Marvel, if you don't remember, Fred Bruno got accepted to Caltech and went off there. So presumably she's going to Pasadena to visit him at Caltech after like a year and a half of him being there. It's March, it's mid-semester, so that makes a lot of sense. But the other thing is that the end of the Marvels happens in December of 2026, a year later. I know. I hate it. I hate it. And that, if you remember, is when she visits Haley Steinfeld, Kate Bishop, and is like, I'm putting together a team of young heroes, does the whole Nick Fury thing. And she casually mentions, did you know that Ant-Man has a daughter? So Ant-Man, those movies, including Cassie, all take place in San Francisco. So the presumption is, or the implication there is, sure, maybe she's visiting Bruno and that she convinces him to drive the 5.5 to 6 hours to San Francisco to visit Cassie to continue the path of Young Avengers. That's what I think is going on there. That's what I think makes sense in terms of the timeline. But it's sort of, I don't know, a little ludicrous to drop that, particularly in the middle of the show that I think we've lauded for not being Easter egg heavy, for being very internal thus far.
To talk about like term rot, the term Easter egg, to say what you just described as an Easter egg is absolute insanity. That's like, it's just wild, the complexity of that. Because on the surface, a lot of the Kamala Khan stuff was just, it was just too much. I was like, we got it. Like,
but I thought surely the Proud Father stuff was kind of fun, and the Funko Pop, other than a weird commercial, was I kind of appreciated the, like the father kind of going doubting on his daughter and talking about his daughter. I thought that was
I just
fun.
Wonder what led to this decision to include him in this episode.
Yeah.
Like,
Who else is on the list?
Yeah, exactly. Like, was it, we don't know what his job is. It would make sense to have him as a bank manager because Jersey City is close to downtown New York or whatever's going on. This isn't even me casting aspersions. I just, like, I'm very curious about the thought process that led to including him here, because it is very classic TV crossover. We couldn't get Amon Vellati. She's too busy with other things. So we got the next best thing, which is her dad.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Roz from Frasier is the one who's here? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. But I don't think it harmed the episode.
No.
He was a little goofy, like, especially when he's down with the bank robber at the safe, and he's being so weird. I was like, this guy would be murdered. Mm-hmm. Especially, again, the tonal mismatch we had here, because we get this very, I thought this was Irish Heat, like the movie Heat. It was like an Irish version of that for the first third of the episode. And, you know, that's cool. It was a little heavy-handed, I thought. But then when you mix in Mr. Khan, I was like, I feel like these two characters shouldn't be speaking to each other.
Yeah. But I think that was the idea, right? Like, that's kind of the MCU thing of we're going to take a general genre or something that kind of feels like this thing, like heist movie, and then MCU it up with a bunch of jokes, with a lighter tone, with a family-friendly flair to it. And again, not to, you know, because we don't know, but I wonder how much of the original show was like this, where there were more references to things going on, more jokes. It's a little weird to me that they repeat the exact same joke from Spider-Man No Way Home, where he says, "What kind of lawyer are you?" And he says, "A really good one."
Yeah.
That was strange to me, but that to me was an indicator of, yeah, this is the MCU episode of this show.
Well, and are we establishing that as his catchphrase?
I guess. I'm a really good lawyer.
I mean,
he's straight out of a Charles Dickens novel, this guy, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, let's remember he did that. This is after he cracked the safe, something impossible
that was
for
fun.
Norman Pearson.
It was cool. It was very cool. Come on, man.
All of that was cool. He didn't even have to tell. I was like, hey, Mr. Khan, shut up. He's trying to listen to the safe. Stop making chit-chat. And I was like, Matt, you're not going to tell him to...
engaging him like it was helping. It was like almost like
how
is
it helping?
Soothing.
He's literally listening for the tiniest noise in the world through metal. And he's like, hey, so what is the deal with law?
Well, he needs something to kind of like bounce around the room so he can use his echo. You know what I mean?
Echolocation.
Yeah, I think it was helping somehow. But
his bad powers, if you will.
I was having a fun with this episode. I also thought Detective Kim was great. That joke was really well delivered. And I liked the back and forth where they were like, I know what you're doing. And the other one was like, I know what you're doing. So I thought that was kind of cool.
This is another one that I wonder whether she was a bigger part of the show originally, because she just kind of shows up here. I feel like she was probably more of a consistent kid. This is just pure theory based on absolutely nothing. But I feel like she was probably a character who was more consistently in the original version of the show. They cut most of that stuff out, except for her being in this episode or whatever is past this, and then retroactively added her into that new scene they shot at Josie's at the beginning to establish who she is now that she shows up here. Because it's weird that she's been off camera since that first scene in Josie's. We haven't seen her since.
Yeah, she does feel like a more important character, just the way she carries herself in this episode. I do think it's interesting that all of the surgery that went into these two disparate shows coming together, they're actually doing a pretty good job of not showing the seams, mm-hmm. something that they've had trouble with in the past when there are reshoots and changes. You really feel them, especially in like the Marvels movie, things like that.
Yeah. What else about the episode? I mean, not to... Yes, Pete, go ahead. You want to keep walking through it?
Yeah, please do. So we kind of have this moment where, first off, I also thought that like Matt's speech about like why he should get this loan was really impressive. I was really surprised that the cold, heartless Mr. Khan wouldn't give it to him. And then after not.
Let me ask you, Pete, are you stressed about the business? I feel like you're having real world stress about this loan.
I'm just, what does it take to get a fucking loan in this world? You know what I mean? Like if a fucking guy who's pro bono helping New York City and this fucking guy who's supposed to be a good guy works at a bank, like, why wouldn't you fucking Mr. Incredible, like, help him the fuck out a little bit? You know what I mean?
Do you think Matt should have just kept the diamond at the end? He could have used
that. Because this was a money issue, I was surprised he gave it back.
I don't know. I would have liked to see Mr. Khan eat it. Like, just, you know, take it out and put it in his mouth.
Well, when he put it in his mouth, I was like, did it? And then he bit into it. I was like, ooh. And I was like,
his teeth broke and he spit out
a dentist. That's why he needs a loan. He needs a dental loan. Yeah. The whole scene, like, it was cool. It had, like, a whole, like, little gotcha moment at the end.
Fun, like, who's got it?
But the way that Matt, did he mind putting a candy in his mouth? Like, we don't really, we see him and then he's like, I was like, okay, dude.
I also think it's weird that they made a butterscotch diamond is the thing that they're stealing purely for the butterscotch dish, and that's like the whole bit there. Particularly because like I'm already very MCU pilled with this episode with the Easter eggs and everything. To pull out something that looks like one of the Infinity Stones,
I wrote Infinity Stone. I was like, "What are we doing here? Is there because it looked like an Infinity Stone?" I was like, "But it's just going in a magic amulet somewhere? Like, what's happening?" And they're like, "Nope, just one regular but cool diamond." And it's for a lady. It's for the random lady there. And then
I think was part of the gang. Yeah, she was getting it out of there.
Yes.
But also, but it seemed,
we don't know anything about what the deal was. Like, we don't learn that. And like, that's fine. It was cool to do it that way. And the way that Matt sort of anticipated that, she just ended up with a butterscotch. But maybe she's like,
I mean, that's nice. She doesn't got nothing. She's got a nice piece of hard candy there. You know what I mean?
So maybe if you went through all the safety deposit boxes, you find other types of hard candies. Like there's a peppermint diamond and a third Jolly Rancher, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the much chased after Rolo diamond.
Oh, sick. I was thinking a Hershey Kiss diamond, but all right.
And you're like, ooh, there's caramel in the middle of this diamond.
Yeah, in the middle is a blood diamond.
Oh, no. So let's talk about the fight sequences.
It's like Christmas for a Jew.
Can we stop saying that, please?
Can you say that?
I can say that, but only once.
Can we stop saying that? I think these fight sequences were
like Hanukkah for a Christian, right?
Like nice, like kind of nice. Like you get to hang out and have some latkes.
Hanukkah for Christian is sort of like vaguely, like I have a vague sense of jealousy because of the link.
Yeah.
But also sort of a like, it's at a distance.
But I have Christmas, so I'm okay.
was I the only one jumping out of my seat with these fight sequences when he is trying to be quiet and take out those dudes and then goes back and gets the shotgun just before it falls? Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were all really good. Great. All the fight sequences were good, and I will continue.
Don't just yah-yah these away. I want to talk about this.
Well, I am about to talk about it further, Pete.
It seems like you were going to skip past it. Yeah, the fight sequence.
I'm sorry. I don't have any Marvel flips to go back and talk about or anything like that. I want to actually talk about the thing that we're talking about. But the Marvel flip was great this episode. I think
I agree. Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, probably I think it's kind of wild, continues to be kind of wild that the fight sequences of Matt Murdock out of costume are so good when the fight sequence of him in costume so far has been the worst thing in the entire show.
That's an interesting point and true so far, but I feel like maybe we'll get something later. Yeah. We'll see who breaks first, Kingpin or Matt here. But I do think that like, just the way it's orchestrated and the extra tension of him having to keep it like, you know, kind of under wraps and keep it, you know, away from others to see is so much a nice extra layer. And then like that at the end when he catches up with that dude and gives him that fucking flying knee. Oh, my God.
When he breaks his leg, I actively flinched. Yeah. I was like, holy. Especially after he smashed his face in the bottle. I was like, it's over. He got him. And then he does that and it's like a wide shot and you hear the noise. I was like, oh, my God. It took my breath away. I was like, how is this?
And that ends with the boot stop to the camera. I was like, oh, dude, I think he's dead.
Yucky.
I don't think you can walk away from that. It was just insane, but so great and such a like, oh, you think you're getting away. But also the fact that he's dressed like a cop and they're tucked away in almost an alley. But still, I mean, the fact that a cop is getting beat down like that in the middle of New York City is insane.
I also like the use of the mask here. I thought that was well done.
That was cool.
Well, that was a fun little moment using that and then picking it up later so he can put it on and hide himself. So, any criticism I have of the episode, I think it is a fun episode of the show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the episode, and I think there was a point where after they had pulled out the diamond and the cops were just about to raid the place, I was like, oh, I genuinely don't know how this is going to go down. And they did a good job of keeping me just floating right in the sweet spot of the action and riding it out. So, like, I thought just the narrative structure and the action I thought was awesome in this episode, maybe sort of the cleanest episode of the season so far. So really enjoyed that. Very positive about this episode, despite the sort of things were making fun of a little bit.
And to talk about the end there, there is, I know I've said this several times, but like, they do end with, hey, why don't you come over for dinner? You can meet my daughter. So presumably there's a time dash. She's back from California now at the end of the episode. But we're never going to pick up on that, right?
Well, I don't know. What are the odds? It seems like next episode that he's going to go over for dinner is what it seems like.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. We'll get to see all those characters from Ms. Marvel that we love.
Well, I enjoyed Ms. Marvel, so it would be cool to kind of see them interacting together for sure.
I'd love to see them in some sort of big screen feature, but I don't think that'll ever happen.
I would love to see Matt go to dinner and just really beg for that loan. Just really like, please.
I wouldn't mind going back and talking a little bit about like the way it lined up with like you have 10 seconds and then like I'll count to three. Like that was just like, oh shit, what's Matt going to do? Like, it was just when he came back up to the bank stairs, just the two of them, I thought like maybe he'll like wake up one of the dummies and do a weekend at Bernie's to buy him some time or something. But like, oh man, just so many kind of just badass moments here for
it was a classic St. Patty's Day countdown where you count down from 10 and that's when the first Guinness goes into your mouth.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah, I just thought that was just so well done and so kind of well put together. Did you notice, guys, when when they opened the safe, it kind of had a shot of a name there. It was like J. Martin Locksmith. I was wondering if maybe that was an Easter egg of some kind.
Oh, J. Martin Locksmith from the Marvel Comics. That is from Avengers 67, I believe. It was created by Stan Lee. And he's one of the biggest villains that the team ever faced. So I think that's a pretty clear setup along with Butterscotch Diamond for Avengers Doomsday. So we're gonna see it pay up there. And just
Avengers Locksmith.
That, yeah, he gets introduced in late 2028, by the way.
Okay.
Just to lay out the timeline. No, well, I think it was just a locksmith.
You are crushing the timeline. And you're crushing the timeline and Pete's little heart.
I mean, hey, it could be. I don't know. Maybe it was a reference. What else? Anything else from the episode you want to call out?
I think it's something that I did look up while we were talking here. If you are Irish, you can rob a bank on St. Paddy's Day, and they have to let you at least get started. So definitely
get started
with the bank robbery.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They let you in.
I don't know about you guys, but I've seen some crazy things on St. Paddy's Day in New York City. So this was like, I thought a very smart time to kind of rob a bank or whatever, because it is total chaos and it's a shit show out there. So.
Really is.
Yeah. I know this year I lost so much of my belongings on St. Paddy's Day because of the rampant Irish gangs running roughshod around the city. That's what you're describing, Pete.
Yeah. It was a little on the nose with the Irish gang playing off of Matt Murdock being Irish on St. Patrick's Day. It's fine. I'll let it slide. But
I thought it was smart. I thought it was kind of if you're going to rob a bank, do it on St. Paddy's Day because it is total chaos and probably not as many cops. On duty or whatever, or needed to be elsewhere. So I just thought it was a smart idea.
I mean, truly Irish heat. I feel like that whoever wrote this or when they were breaking this in the room, I bet that was two words written on a whiteboard. And that's a fun in.
Yeah. And shouts to Irish Heat, by the way, is also a very sexy novel series you should all check out.
Yes, I love an erotic. You said novel, right?
Novel, yes.
An erotic novel series.
Novella, honestly.
Novella, yeah. Yes. And it's a series, Irish.
Yeah, it's a series of novellas.
Oh,
I don't want to talk about any of the content because this is a family podcast.
Hey, would you say most of the pornography you consume, Alex, is paperback novellas?
100%.
You find in the woods, I guess?
Name one thing more erotic than that, please. Yes. I dare you.
I love Alex's search history on like Pornhub is is paperback novella.
Novella, old novella, beaten up old novella.
Shouts to the Mark Messier puck. What an investment. Oh,
that was fun. That was fun. A lot of Rangers references in this. That was cool. Yeah, I just think they did a great job of holding the tension of a heist in this and then putting Matt Murdock kind of in the middle. I thought this was a fun, fun episode and just amazing fight sequence. Really so impressed by the fight sequences in this episode.
Well, before we wrap up here, there were two episodes that were broadcast today, but obviously we're just talking about this one. That said, in case you may have glimpsed the thumbnail of the next episode, perhaps, but what are you expecting? What do you want to see? What's on your vision board for episode 6?
I think we're going to have a really amusing episode coming up here where it's going to be a lot of fun. And by fun, I mean bloodletting.
Yeah. One thing that actually, sorry, this is not on the vision board, but just to mention, because I know, Justin, you were speculating about this being a two-part episode, the reason they are releasing it this way. I think that is not. I mean,
I agree with you.
Obviously, that's not what it is, but I think the reason they release these two like this is because this is so tonally different. So to release it on a week on its own would feel like, wait, I'm almost watching a different show. So the thing that I expect for the next episode is we will get back to the tone of the first four episodes in episode 6.
Yeah, we didn't get any of the continuing plot really here in this episode. So I think they were like, well, let's make sure we keep the next rung on the ladder available to people. That was what we're going to get with this next episode, which is going to be Muse, Kingpin, the BB Report, all of our favorite moments back.
Pete, what's on your vision board for the next episode?
Well, I think, you know, Jay Martin could have been a reference to Jacques Martin, you know, one of the first artists, you know, worked on like Tintin, you know, it could have been a Tintin knot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely a Tintin nod. Absolutely
a Tintin nod. And I'm looking forward to a Tintin nod next episode as well.
I don't know what's coming. I'm worried about Muse. It looks extra scary in that thumbnail. So, I'm nervous of how this is all going to go down. I also think that, like, we're going to need to get more Kingpin in his dungeon and, you know, what he's punching or how he's kind of dealing with this, because we spent a lot of time showing how Matt's doing with it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I got to think he's punching the guy that slept with his wife, but that's my opinion.
What if he's playing Bloody Knuckles with him and just having a nice time, you know?
Knuck up, Adam. Let's go.
If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Daredevil, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
Knock, knock, Seamus. I'm here for some of that Irish heat. Dish it out, Seamus.
Ah, I fucked a penguin.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.